ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Early in the second century, Ignatius wrote this. He said, "Let every friend of Christ keep the Lord's Day as a festival, the Resurrection Day, the Queen and Chief of all days." So yeah, in the early church, when did they worship God? When did they gather together as a body of believers? On Sunday. Justin Martyr described how Christians worshiped later in the second century. On the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together to one place, and their memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read. Sunday is the day on which we hold our common assembly because Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day rose from the dead. It's pretty simple to me. You want to worship on the Sabbath, on Saturday? Great. You want to worship on Sunday? Great. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday? No problem. In Romans 14, Paul said, "One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observe it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord, he does not observe it." Don't be legalistic about it. Worship the Lord every day. Enjoy your time with him. That's why Jesus died, so we could have a relationship with the Father. People make a big thing out of nothing here. Now, Paul's time in Troas was short. He was going to be moving on, and he speaks to them late into the night the things of God. He's sharing Jesus with them through the Scriptures. He wasn't going to let any opportunity pass him by. He utilizes his time well, and as we move on, we're going to see why it is important not to fall asleep in church. I see several of you waking up now. Very important. Listen carefully. Look at verse 8. "There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead." So Paul was teaching them. It was late in the hour. It was midnight. Many lamps were lit, and, you know, the heat and everything. This young man was on the third floor. Eutychus, he was trying to stay awake, and the harder he tried, the harder it was. And he's bobbing his head. You know how that goes? And before long, he's in a deep sleep, man. The only problem for this young man was he's up on the third floor, sitting up on the window ledge. And when he falls asleep, he doesn't fall into the building, he falls outside, three stories down. Now, I'm not sure if this is a reminder not to teach too long. Or not to sit too close to a window. I don't know. I've been teaching here in Manitowoc for almost 20 years now, and I haven't killed anyone with a sermon, at least not yet. No one has died, and I think that's a good thing. I've put some to sleep, but not to death. Paul, his sermon was a killer. I don't know. This poor guy. Can you imagine? You're in the middle of a sermon, a guy falls out the window. Here's the thing. It wasn't that this young man wasn't interested. He couldn't keep his eyes open any longer. In fact, one writer put it like this. He said, "The tenses of the Greek verbs portray poor Eutychus as being gradually overcome despite his struggle to remain awake." Paul was teaching for several hours. It's midnight now. Can you imagine? It's kind of like our prophecy update night, right? Some of you are thinking, oh my gosh, you're having nightmares about that. But he's struggling to stay awake and he can't. And Paul knew, hey, my time's short. I have to leave here the next day. I'm going to give him everything I can, and let's see what happens. And the guy falls out the window. That's not a good thing. I understand how hard it is sometimes. You know, we come in from our busy days or working all day, and we sit down, our first chance to relax, and before we know it, we're gone, sleeping. You know, when I was back in Calvary Chapel of Elk Grove working with the nursery kids, I was working the night shift. I'm not really good working the night shift. I'd go to bed at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning after I got home from work. And at 12 o'clock, no matter what, I was awake. I'm like, now what? And that was it. It was really hard. So they have prayer at Calvary Chapel Elk Grove every Saturday morning. So after work, I went to prayer, and I sat there. and even close your eyes, you know. That is just, the combination was horrible. Well, after prayer, they woke me up. They were very kind and gentle. They didn't make fun of me. But yeah, I was asleep, man. My eyes were closed. That was it. I was out. Hopefully I didn't snore. Who knows? Nowadays, I probably snore. But back then, I don't know. But it happens. You know, I get a good view of you guys. I do. And I understand how hard it is to stay awake sometimes. I do. I don't want to put anyone down or anything. It is very, very difficult, as we see with this young man here. One writer wrote this. He said, "As a pastor, I have again and again been reminded that on any given Sunday, there are believers who are in danger of falling asleep in church. I've seen people fall asleep and bump their heads on the pew in front of them. I've been sitting on the platform when one of my associates dozed off and dropped his hymnal. I've heard people awaken with a snort. In one congregation, a certain young man sat on the front row and slept every Sunday. As soon as I was through the introduction, his eyes closed and his head tilted. The most memorable, however, was a Sunday both he and his wife fell asleep with their heads propped against one another. I've heard a preacher tell of an elder who fell asleep, and when his wife nudged him during the service, he stood and pronounced the benediction." Yeah. He says, "I have great sympathy for those who have trouble staying awake in church. Some of us work such trying schedules that when we sit down, it's the first time we've relaxed all week. Others are sometimes victims of medication. Sometimes it's just so warm. The truth is, some of the best saints have fallen asleep in church. Eutychus was perhaps an enthusiastic new Christian who, though he was tired, would not miss church for anything. His spirit was willing, but his body was sleepy." Some people are asleep because they have never been awake. "I'm familiar with that state because I was once in it myself," he said. "I attended church, heard God's word preached, sang the great hymns, listened to others pray, but with no depth of comprehension. I was simply present where others worshiped. I was on the outside. I was not alive to spiritual things. Perhaps you derive some vague comfort from being with religious people and doing Christian things, but inside you understand very little of what's going on. The pity is, it's possible to pass from this life into eternity without recognizing your slumber until it's too late. And it's possible to be damned even in the church. As Screwtape, a senior devil, said to his trainee, Wormwood, in C.S. Lewis's novel, Screwtape Letters, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Have you ever been truly awake?" Now, again, I don't know where you're at this morning in regards to why you're sleepy, if you are sleepy, but are you born again? That's something you need to deal with and deal with it now. If you come to church just to come to church, why? It doesn't make you a Christian. I have this awesome leather tool belt at home. I mean, it's really, really cool. And I put all kinds of tools in there. You know, I've got the screwdriver, the hammer, the drill. I have the tape measure. It goes in a special place. And it looks really cool. I have a drill that has two battery powers for it. It's impressive. I have the saw that I don't even know what the saw is called. But, man, I call it a hacksaw because it just hacks things up, man. You want to cut metal? It'll cut metal. You want to cut wood? It cuts wood. So, Sawzall. Thank you. Sawzall. I don't even know what these things are. I look so cool with this stuff on. But does that make me a carpenter? No, please don't call me. You would not want me to do that. You know, I remember several years ago, my wife and I were on vacation up north, and we had this little cabin that we rented, and it had this little dock area that had a roof over it, and you could go fishing from the dock. And that's what we did. We didn't have a boat, so we would just fish from the dock and just relax and put our bobbers in there. And this father and son, they were adults, came to go fishing. And I'm telling you, their outfits were unbelievable. They had the hat with all the lures in it. It was really cool. They had the vests. They had the poles, the boxes. These guys, I'm like, man, I love to watch people who know what they're doing. You know, I watch Conrad all the time because he knows what he's doing. I thought, here are some real fishermen. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to learn from them. I'll just keep my eye open. So the father's out there and he's ready to cast and he casts it and the thing flies backwards. Like, oh, it must have been just a mistake. The whole time, man, I'm like, whoa, man. They looked like fishermen. They were not fishermen. They couldn't fish worth a darn. I was better with my bobber sitting in the water than they were. And the idea is that can happen with our faith. You can carry a Bible, you can go to church, you can quote Scripture, but it doesn't make you a Christian. If you haven't repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, then you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. Your faith is asleep, you might say. You know, in Ephesians 5:14, Paul said, "Awake, you asleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." He's calling for sinners to awake from their spiritual sleep, the deadness of their spirits, to receive Jesus into their life. And you know what God does? He takes you who are dead in sin and makes you alive in Christ. That is the amazing thing that God does. It doesn't get any better than that. It's a free gift. It's not of works. Because Paul said in Ephesians 2, we would boast about it. And isn't that how it is? I'll tell you what. When I see athletes getting all the praise, you know, trying to show, look what I've done, I'm thinking, you haven't done anything because God has enabled you to do these things. Whatever we do in life, it's not because of how great we are. It's how great He is and how gracious and merciful He is in our lives. We need to remember that. And it's only Jesus that can take these dead spiritual bodies and make them alive once again in God, if you allow Him to. For those who know Jesus Christ, for those of us who have been awakened to what, we need to also pay attention on where we're walking. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 for a minute. In Ephesians 5, listen to what Paul says. We're going to pick up in verse 15. Paul says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." That is so important to watch where you're walking. Again, I can give you another example. I think the Lord allows me to have these things so I can share them with you. Years ago, when we were living in Illinois, I had come up to Milwaukee for a nursing seminar. It was a 2 or 3 day seminar. And so I was staying at a hotel here in Milwaukee. And I got up early in the morning. I was going to run. It was still dark out. And it was just, you know, it was just a little bit of snow coming down. It was really beautiful out. And I'm out there running. And I didn't really know where I was at. I was in Milwaukee. I'm just running around. And I'm not paying attention, which that is never a good thing. Until I hit that signpost and landed on my back. Face plant. I think my nose imprint is still on that signpost. It was unbelievable. I'm on the ground. And you know the first thing that I wanted to do? Not to check for bleeding. To see if anyone saw me. Talk about pride. Did anyone see? Oh my gosh, I got to get up quick. And then I'm like, I'm dazed. It was because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't looking where I was going. And that's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 5. Walk carefully. Pay attention to what's happening around you. Where you're walking. Why? Because the days are evil. It's dangerous out there. Don't be drawn into it. Don't be sleepwalking. Be wise in what you do. Be wise in what you watch. Be wise on the internet. Be wise with your relationships at work. Walk carefully. And also, not only walk carefully, but take advantage of the days we're living in, the opportunities that come our way. It's not time to cower and hide our faith, but it's time to use it for God's glory, to bring people into the kingdom of God, to shine forth our faith. Don't be sleeping. And the only reason we can do it, guys, is because of God empowering us by His Spirit. That's what Paul says, be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Total surrender. Moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, and so on. Now, drinking is wasteful. And I know people think they're in control, but it's got control over you. When we were on vacation last week, we were on an excursion snorkeling. And, you know, these guys are very smart. They don't serve alcohol before you snorkel. They serve it afterwards. So they're very smart because they don't want people drowning. But they serve a lot of rum on these boats. So we're heading back, and it's all free on this boat. And people are drinking and drinking and drinking. And we're watching them, and there's the guy, you know, dancing by himself. And that, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That's how he was dancing, okay? That's how bad it was. And the other, there's another girl who was just, she was talking with Julie, like, you know, 240. So we get back to our area where we have to walk to the boat. And I'm watching this guy, and he is all over. And I'm going, there is no way he is going to make it. He is just stumbling. And all of a sudden, the guy from the boat says, hey, did someone forget their shoes? This guy forgot his shoes on the boat. He's walking on the pavement, no shoes. So someone gets his attention because he doesn't hear anything. So he starts walking back to the boat to get his shoes. And the guy's walking with his shoes to give it to him. And the guy walks right by him. He didn't even see the guy with his shoes. It was so sad. He didn't have any control. God says, don't be controlled with wine. Be controlled by God's Spirit in your life. How different that is. Alcohol is a depressant. It depresses our self-control. The Holy Spirit, in a sense, is a stimulant that controls every aspect of our life. What do you want to be controlled by? That's the key. Because if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, it will affect your life. Your life will overflow with joy. And you will share with others. Your life will just radiate the Lord. How awesome that is. Also, you submit to one another in the fear of God, or out of respect to God for all he's done, you submit. I find it interesting in Ephesians, before Paul even deals with marriage relationships and relationships with co-workers and employers and with children, he says that we need to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. There's the key for all those relationships, submission. You submit to God, you'll be able to submit to others. You don't submit to God, you're not going to submit to no one. We need to awaken out of the sleep and serve the Lord. Now, let's get back here to Acts chapter 20. And this gentleman, Eutychus, guess what his name means? Fortunate. It is. It's funny. I think it's hilarious. Here's a guy who's fortunate that just fell out the window. But as we're going to see, his story's not over yet. Look at verse 10. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. You know, Paul didn't rebuke this guy for falling asleep. I mean, he was dead. It'd be kind of hard to rebuke him anyway. But look at that guy. He fell asleep. He should be dead. No, he didn't say that. He didn't kick him around. He embraced this young man, and life came back to him. So I guess he is fortunate, isn't he? Absolutely. Now, how does the story even relate to us? Well, I guess if you're tired, don't sit by an open window. That's important. But how about a brother or sister in the Lord that's going through tough times? Maybe their walk seems lifeless, you know, maybe even dead. They're having a struggle. Are you rebuking them? Are you mocking them? Are you kicking them around? I hope not. Embrace them with the love of Christ and see how life may come back to them. They need to be encouraged. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, when things are going well, guys, when, you know, Mr. Bluebird is sitting on your shoulder, isn't it easy to love people? Absolutely. But what happens when Mr. Bluebird leaves a deposit on your shoulder? What happens when things are not going well? When persecution or difficult times come upon us, then it's harder to love others. It's harder to forgive their sins against us. It's hard to be hospitable and not complain. And many times what happens is we withdraw from the body of Christ and we don't use those gifts that God has given us to edify the body of Christ. We're called to love, to forgive, to be hospitable, to use these gifts that God has given us. And it's done, again, as you submit yourself to the will of God. Because if you can't submit to the will of God, you'll never be able to submit to others, especially during difficult times. So Peter is admonishing us to live holy lives in spite of what comes our way, the persecution we face. Because if we do, guess what? God is glorified. And I love how he closes, how Peter closes that. He says, amen. So be it. Let it be. Don't be sidetracked by things, by these things, but keep your eyes and heart focused on the Lord and walk accordingly. And to do that, you have to be awake. You have to be open. Now, again, this guy, he falls out the window. He's on the ground, dead. And Paul goes to him, and he's telling others, don't fear. He's not dead. Well, really, Paul, where did you get your MD degree? This guy is dead as a doornail, man. He's not moving. He's out. Paul didn't give in to what they were saying. He fell upon this man. Life came back into him. And you think, all right, after something like that, let's break it up. Let's all go home. It's late in the night. Enough is enough. No. The people were comforted by seeing life come back into this young man. Paul has communion with them. They partook of some food. And what does Paul do next? He continues teaching till the break of day. The sun's coming up now. Paul didn't know if he'd ever see these people again on this side of eternity. And he wanted to share with them as much as he could about Jesus to build them up in the faith. He knew what they were going to face, that it was going to be tough out there. And I guess for me, there's really no excuse for not teaching God's word. None at all. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. We need to be awake. We need to walk circumspectly. You know, Martin Luther had a parable or dream about how on one occasion the devil sat upon his throne listening to his agents report on the progress they had made in opposing the truth of Christ, destroying the souls of men. One spirit said that there was a company of Christians crossing the desert. He said, I loosed the lions upon them, and soon the sands of the desert were strewn with their mangled corpses. What of that? Answered Satan. The lions destroyed their bodies, but their souls were saved. It is their souls that I'm after. Another reported, there was a company of Christian pilgrims sailing through the sea on a vessel. I sent a great wind against the ship that drove the ship on the rocks, and every Christian aboard the ship was drowned. And what of that? Said Satan. Their bodies were drowned in the sea, but their souls were saved. It is their souls that I'm after. The third came forward to give his report, and he said, for 10 years I've been trying to cast a Christian into a deep sleep, and at last I have succeeded. And with that, the corridors of hell rang with the shouts of malignant triumph. We, again, need to be awake, waking out of our sleep. Not because the message is over, because it is, but because it's high time to awaken and live for the Lord. We need to let his love and his righteousness flow from our lives. And it's not easy. But God doesn't tell us to do something and not empower us to accomplish that task. What God calls us to do, he will give us the power to do it if we will walk by faith, if we will trust in him, if we will rely on his strength and not our own plans, our own ingenuity, our own resources, but trust in him. The key is that we need to wake up. We need to pay attention. And I'm excited about the prophecy update on New Year's Eve, because there are so many things happening in regards to the one world church and the one world government, the technology in the days that we're living in, Israel. Exciting times. And we could go on and on. There's so many things happening. I had to actually limit it. And if you call the studies that I'm doing on Wednesday, limit it. There is so much information out there. But I hope to give you a good idea of where we're headed and how quickly we're moving to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Very exciting days. Well, some people would say, well, what if he doesn't come back for 50 years? Guess what? I'll be with him anyway. I'm not going to live for another 50 years. So in either case, I don't lose. But in 50 years, we're still 50 years closer to his return. Paul in his day was looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of his great God and Savior Jesus Christ. 2,000 years later, how much the more we should be. We need to be awake. We need to be able to share with people what's happening in this world. People want to know. We could share with them. We see what's happening. Let them see it, because they can turn on the news and see these events transpire, and we could share, say, this is what the Bible said, exactly what's happening today. May we wake up. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for a man like Paul who took every opportunity to share the word of God with people. He knew how important God's word was. And Lord, may we understand that too. May we not only take in God's word, but may we apply it to our lives. May we grow and share those truths with others. We thank you so much for being our God. And Lord, for any who are listening on the radio or the internet and are here this morning who don't know you, Lord, we just pray that you would open their eyes and soften their heart. They would come to the saving faith, and they would see a God who loves them so much that he died for their sins in full, every single one of them. All they need to do is repent and receive that by faith. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread and communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.